FUBAR Radio presents Ian
Molesworth. KSI and Randolph. Are you there, KSI?
Yo, what's up?
So, why are you having fights with people?
Well, I mean, obviously, I got to show that I'm the best boxing YouTuber on YouTube.
What is happening in Brixton?
We got a show. We got, like, our, you know, London show.
And what happens in that? Is that all singing and rapping, or is that a bit of fighting and all chucked in for good fun?
I mean, if you punched me, nothing would happen, though. I'd just be like, did a fly hit me, or... I don't know.
Look at this. I reckon if I keep pushing their buttons in the right way, they'll start fighting each other right now. That'd be all right, wouldn't it? We're joined by Katie Manning now in the studio. You nearly fell off your chair.
I'm very physical.
Good.
Did you know what I mean? I get very excited. Yeah. And for a woman of my age, that's quite scary.
How old are you? 38-ish?
Oh, you're darling.
Around 38.
I could be your grandma, darling, because I'm 72.
Why could you not be my girlfriend?
Yeah, do you not want to be...
Do you like an older woman, darling?
I like anyone.
Who says yes?
Yeah. No, I do. No, I'm like, I wouldn't have any...
I just missed my mouth then. That was maybe you should not have me.
That's a good point, actually, isn't it? Phaser is now sat opposite me.
We're all puppets, but I like to pull my own strings.
Yeah, no, I don't think we are all puppets, though.
In the entertainment, you know, like...
Do you really think that?
The Punch and Judy type thing.
Do you think? I'm not a puppet.
You can be your own puppet.
I'm not a puppet.
You're not a puppet.
What are you? You are actually a puppet. So you had a guess, you've been made into a puppet. He has actually been made into a puppet,
yeah,
haven't you?
Yeah, but I'm...
It wasn't like a voodoo puppet or nothing like that.
Yeah,
like
I have a big collection of voodoo dolls at home.
No.
And really, I've been pulling out your teeth recently in them, and you have been going to the dentist. So
I wouldn't be
there.
Surprised if you did have... That actually wouldn't shock me. We're joined now by Alex Fox.
I'm not a fan of 50 Shades. Those books are not well loved by many people on the responsible fetish community scene because they depict in many ways a problematic dynamic. Least exciting erotic series that I've seen in a while. I virtually fell asleep watching those films.
But that can happen after a while.
True. If I'm late for anything, it's usually had a wank falling asleep. A fap and a nap, as I like to call it.
Every Monday, Ian Molesworth from 4 p.m.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio.
We're joined now by Ed Jackson and Ollie Barclay. We're talking about this. Is it you were looking at this? Is it wrong? You looked at the screen. It's the same screen as you've got there.
No, I was just saying it says 6,500 feet,
it's a bit
which
short
is like
the actual height.
What's the height?
The hill in Richmond Park, isn't it? It's 6,500 metres, yeah. 21,000 feet.
Yeah, so yeah.
So we knew money about 10,000 feet, right?
Yeah.
You've got to understand Nat's a gigantic lady.
I'm 5'11".
So she basically doesn't see hills.
No.
She just like strides over them quite easily without any problems at all. Whereas I'm more of a normal height. And have you climbed it already? Are you doing it?
I have to make a confession here. I didn't actually climb the mountain.
Why are you in the studio?
I did. Yeah, get out, Ollie.
That's a very good question. I had to pull out about 2 weeks before because we have an event at the end of November, which has got pretty busy. So stay behind and
You're happy to come and wallow in the glory, even though
absolutely,
you were nowhere near. This is like when end of games when people have won cups and that, and you see all the like 18 players on the pitch
Terry
lifting the cup.
Up.
It's like, yeah, I'm done now.
Yeah.
So you're both rugby union players. Are you both finished?
Finished. Yeah.
Bath, is that right?
Yep.
This is all I've learned. I know nothing about rugby union. All I know is that they are the enemy.
Who, Bath are?
No, rugby union.
Rugby union is in general.
That's
what's your league side?
Saints. Hmm. What is it?
Well, no, I used to live in Doncaster, so I was in the middle of league country up there. And as a union player up in Doncaster, you're kind of lost amongst the leagueies. But down here in London, you're lost amongst the posh union ones.
Totally are, yeah. But it's more accepted. I think it's getting more accepted in London now because the London Broncos were in the Super League last year.
Yeah.
They've gone down again, but they had a fucking brilliant season. Like, they were really good. It was heartbreaking that they went down again because they had like a poor squad.
They weren't up to much for a long time, were they?
No. But they've ploughed money into them and they just, they've got back up. But
and Toronto now as well with Sonny Bill Williams.
Yeah.
Bonkers, isn't it?
Bonkers. Ten mil over 2 years.
I don't know what the actual deal is.
£2.5 million a year, I think it works out.
Is it?
Yeah.
See, I've heard five.
I heard he was doing it for the love of the game.
£5 million a year.
It's a shot in the arm for rugby league, that. Like, it is. I know he's played league before. You know, he's been back and forward, hasn't he, between the two. But I still think, even as a player who's, you know, the wrong side of 30, really, for rugby league, certainly, and it's like, I still think it's a major sign in that. It's a major coup there. And it has brought a load of attention. Because the chip on the Rugby League shoulder is obviously you believe there's a media bias and you know, all them sort of things. And you buy into that. I've never cared about players going back and forth between league and union because that's happened forever. That's always happened. Well, Kyle Eastman went to Bath.
He was at Bath, yeah.
I actually lived with Kyle for a year.
Did you?
Yeah, he came and stayed with me in a little.
Well, he was like our star player coming up. Yeah. You know, he was going to be the next big deal. He really was,
Wasn't Seantine Harpy as well?
Yeah,
but Seantine
Harpy. We had Trev Walker came to Bath for a bit.
Yeah.
Jason as well.
But they were more back end of their career at that point, weren't they?
Yeah, Kyle was the only one to really come over and make a really big move by a big announcement because he was young and sort of on fire at that stage and he left, so it was a big move for him.
Yeah, he was going to be the next big thing at Saints. Yeah. Like he proper was our scrum half.
He's an unreal talent. Yeah.
Did you like him? I don't like him anymore.
No, I hate him actually. I'm glad you didn't like him.
I'm not allowed to like him.
No, I live with him for years. He's a lovely lad.
Okay,
he's
good.
Awesome.
Good. Well, let's talk about the thing that's happened here with this climb expedition. Because the background to this is actually quite incredible, really. So what went on there?
Try and keep this brief, because it can go on for a while. But me and Ollie played together 10 years ago. Yep. We were at Bath. I went off, you know, Ollie had a bit more of a successful rugby career than me, ended up playing for England and stuff, but I still played 10 years professionally until 2.5 years ago. I picked the wrong end of the swimming pool to dive into and broke my neck.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, which left me paralysed from below the shoulders. I was resuscitated 3 times, and then in the sort of following weeks, months, sort of told I was never going to walk again, and having to deal with, you know, having to come to terms with life and not being independent or being in a wheelchair for the rest of my life.
How old are you at this point?
27.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And I say that like it matters how old you are, but you know what I mean? But you know, but there is sort of, you're a professional sportsman at that point as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things coming to play there. It's shit enough for someone to experience that, and then you go, and also can't do my job. Can't, you know, blah 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 blah. So
yeah, it was tough because it's like, I don't know, I suppose subconsciously being professional sport's a weird one because it's the one thing, but from a young age when you know you're good enough, 14, 15, whatever, everyone's telling you, right, that's what you're doing for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh, you come out of uni, you're like, oh shit, what do I do next?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll give that a go, or I'll do this, and then if you don't like it, you change careers. It's like, that's all I'd done since I was like 14 or 15. That's the only place my mind was, and then all of a sudden sort of, you know, the script gets ripped off, if you like. And
so this is just diving into a swimming pool.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a feature pool, family barbecue, but it had like a waterfall in one end off this rock face.
They were cleaning the pool at the time, so there was no water in it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Both ends were the wrong end, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just not seeing that was stupid enough. That ain't diving in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, that's why you're here.
Yeah, to keep him grounded.
I see.
It was actually my pool.
Yeah.
And Ed said, if you don't work for me for free for 5 years, then I'll sue you. And I can pay out, so here I am.
Yeah, yeah. That's, so you got to do all the interviews. I got you. Right.
Yeah, yeah. So now Ollie's working for free. And yeah, so yeah, a bit of a change of tact. I got lucky.
Did you know straight away you were fucked?
Yeah, I couldn't move in the pool. Yeah, I nearly drowned, you know. So luckily my dad was there to pull me to the surface. And if it was Ollie, he probably would have dragged me out by my neck to saved my life and made things a lot worse, but luckily my old man's a retired GP, so he kind of knew to keep me still.
Yeah.
And then after that, I just got really lucky that everything fell into place, from my old man being there to the rehab I got, to the fact there was still sort of 4 millimetres left of my spinal cord attached out of the 12.
Yeah.
So there was something to work with, and sort of bit by bit things started coming back. And then when I left hospital, I was still in a wheelchair for, this is sort of 6 months down the line, I got asked by one of my mates' dads, who's working for a charity in Nepal, if I wanted to help raise awareness for their efforts to build a spinal unit. And I was like, yeah, cool. If, you know, any good can come from this situation, then great.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't think I'd ever actually get to go over there because Nepal's not the easiest place to be in a wheelchair.
Okay.
But when I started walking again after about a year, I went out there and fell in love with the place. Like, the people, to see how much difference we could make with such a small amount of money as well was pretty inspiring. So when I got back, I was sat on the plane and I was like, you know, I'm not just going to help raise awareness, I'm going to try and raise all the money. So we set about trying to raise 250 grand. I rang a few of my old mates, Ollie being one of them who was back in Bath, had just retired as well, said he'd help me out. So we set up M2M, stands for Millimeters to Mountains, just as a fundraising vehicle to build a spinal unit.
Right.
But things have kind of taken off since then and are developing into, we got sort of two different sides of the business. I'll let Ollie sort talk about one of them, but I do the climbs.
Okay.
Ironically, the disabled one does the climbs.
Yeah, yeah. This is a really weird setup.
Yeah, and the lazy one does the the parties back home.
Does the cool stuff that everyone wants to go to.
FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose.
Duckworth is here.
Yeah.
Does it feel weird watching yourself back?
Mm-mm. As long as I'm doing well. If it's like moments where like I like totally sucked, or like my face was weird, or like, I don't know, like just something weird, like a nip slip or some shit like that. And I'm just like,
what's wrong
God.
With the nip slip?
I mean, like, there has to be an intentional nip slip.
Like, what, it's like Janet Jackson nip slip vibes?
Was that intentional? I don't know if that was intentional or...
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know.
Whatever it was iconic, hun.
It was great. It was iconic. It definitely was iconic. That was one of the best nip slips ever in the world.
I would say it's my favorite nip slip.
It has to be.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Our guest is Mr. Williams.
Yes, brother.
How you doing, brother? You
right? Yes, sir. Yeah, man.
More weed.
Definitely. Do you still actually smoke? Do you know what I mean? Actually, yeah.
Yeah?
Do you think that it also helps creativity?
1,000,000%.
Do you really?
100,000,000%. It even makes me good at maths.
Definitely.
Yeah. 100,000,000%.
Tuesday Takeover.
It's your boy, Jack Fowler. I have got Jamel 1-5.
How much do you weigh?
How much do I weigh? Like 18 stone.
Bro, that's I'm 16.
That,
oh, yeah.
I think I'm 14. I think
40
I'm,
what?
14 kilograms.
No, 14 kilograms. No, you mean 14 stones.
Stone.
You're dead. You're dead.
It's peak.
He's done out here.
If I'm 14,
bro, you need to eat. Eat up, man.
Yeah, I actually do.
That's 5 goats in the morning. Man, get me. 12 o'clock.
I just hung up.
Couple babies and that. Oh, yeah. 1 p.m. Yeah. A bit of salad and that. And then like 2:45.
Yeah.
Couple BBWs, innit?
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio.
Peace to Mr. Dan. We got another one. Hey, bounce, burning through an ounce, thumbing through finance, never miss a count, tallying amounts. Never had access to finer things until I took away the doubt. Hey, I made it out. Happy that my quality of life is just right. Still standing, fight, still man my plight. I never lose, scared of who? Yeah, right. Get out of your mind, get out of sight. They like you came up on it. I'm like, because I never gave up on it. And I'm traveling the world. Fans take pics and cop ticks. They saving up for us. I remember when nobody cared. We kept faith and plan for a lot of years. Invested blood, sweat, a lot of tears. Thinking, when I get on, I'm out of here. I'm out of here, I'm gone. Express through song, feeling strong. Still pray for those that did me wrong. It's motivation whenever I perform. Cause I'm gone. Smoke. Remember when my friends had jokes? Cause all I had was two quotes. I didn't have a record deal and going broke. Saving for the studio. They admitted I had talent, but making a career was a challenge. I had to find balance, a thin line between chasing the dream and reality. I learned in time. Quit looking for help and invest in self. The struggle alone is heartfelt. If you endured hate, you can't relate. You gotta go through struggle to be great. You gotta meet your fears to meet fate. And now they all light up when they see my face. My goals are so near, like when I get on, I'm outta here. I'm outta here, gone. Express through song, feeling strong. Still pray for those that did me wrong. It's motivation whenever I perform. Cause I'm gone.
Thank you.
FUBAR Radio presents
Tuesday Takeover.
Welcome to the Tuesday Takeover. My name is Cece Coleman. I am here with the lovely Gavin.
Hello, everybody.
We have Natasha.
Leggero.
And we have her husband.
Moshe Kasher.
I kind of got kidnapped on a date once.
Whoa.
Yeah. We met up for drinks and she'd had like a bottle and a half of wine already.
She was drunk.
Oh my God.
We ended up just like hanging out back at her new place. I spilt red wine on her brand spanking new sofa.
She could have beat your ass, Gavin.
Exactly. I actually did stay the night. I kept hearing her getting up to lock the doors and lock windows. I had this really horrible feeling that I was locked in.
Well, you were locked in.
Well, yeah.
The Tuesday Takeover. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Hiya! It's us! We're on air!
Welcome to the James and Craig Takeover show.
We are taking over FUBAR Radio for the next 2 hours.
You lucky sods.
You're going to be listening to us. And by us, I mean
Sophie Craig and
Johanna James.
Welcome, Kerry Ingham, into the studio.
Woo!
Hello. Oh my God. Studio applause for Kerry.
Hi, everyone.
Thank you.
So, Kerry, you're an actress.
I am indeed.
People might know your face, just a smidge.
Well, maybe half my face.
Or half your face, exactly. From Game of Thrones. Also, you're in a bunch of Netflix.
You're
series.
In a bunch of Netflix.
Bunch of Netflix stuff. Well, we wanted to play a game with you, Kerry, because I know you'd be well up for this. So I've prepared a little quiz. And I've prepared
some words.
A name generator. So it's called WhatsApp Bingo. So I'm going to ask everyone a quiz. If you get the question wrong, as a forfeit, you have to pull a name out of the hat.
Pull a word.
A word out of the hat, sorry. And then we have to type that in to our WhatsApp search bar. Mm-hmm. And we have to read up the first message that that word is in. This could be incredibly embarrassing.
It could be. But also quite eye-opening.
Okay, so question number one. Which actress starred as the original Mary Poppins?
Beep! Julie Andrews.
Oh, yes, you did.
Oh, yeah. Can I have a ding sound effect, please?
Oh, okay, sorry.
Thank you very much. Just need that.
Right. Okay, Kerry, let's do this. We forfeited it.
Oh, no.
We're going to pull a random word out
Here
for
we go.
You.
Hang on. What is the word?
This is what the word is. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Lingerie.
Oh!
I don't actually think I ever use that word, so I doubt anything's actually going to come up.
Oh, well, let's see.
Should we do it as well?
Should we do it as well? Come on, we'll do it as
I'm
well.
I'm so
with
keen.
You.
Let's put lingerie. How do you spell lingerie? I'm
Lingerie.
Lingerie.
No results.
No results for me.
I've got lingering.
Nope, that doesn't count.
I've got lingering as well.
No, Sophie, I've got a text from you.
No! Sugar, I never thought of this!
That has lingering. And you texted me and said, we've been lingering around there like a fart for over a year. I don't know what
the
that was.
Story of my life.
I don't know. Hashtag we won't flush. Oh, that was banging. Okay. Oh, no, I do have lingerie.
Hey, I've got no results for lingerie.
I had to go back down. No, I do. It was a text from my boyfriend and he says, the lingerie yesterday, though, emoji heart eyes.
Oh,
That must have been a very long time ago because I do not wear lingerie anymore.
Okay.
I don't have anything.
Oh, no.
I don't have anything. I checked my text as well. My lingering one was someone said something about, do you think they get them for free? And someone replied saying, 100%. They've got 9,000 lingering in a store cupboard somewhere. It was probably about food or cups.
Yeah, food on set.
Or something that we didn't get and we were mad about.
I want my food on set, please. Thank you.
There we go.
Okay. Right.
How many pairs of ribs does the normal human have?
8.
Kerry?
No idea.
10?
Absolutely wrong, both of you. There we go.
How many? 12.
Yeah!
Oh, no. 8 is the amount that you can legally have.
Legally?
Yeah.
There's a legal amount of ribs.
Yeah, there's the first 4 are technically spare ribs. You have to have the first 8, I think, to survive. Because a lot of people are getting surgery to remove their ribs to get tinier waists like Kim Kardashian. All right, give me a word.
Johanna, please take one from there.
Okay, so my word for WhatsApp Bingo, we're going to put this into my phone. Oh, moist. Oh, God.
It's my least favourite word.
Oh. Hit that cue.
Okay, hold on.
Who wants to be a millionaire? I love it so much.
Oh, no. Oh my God,
oh,
Sophie.
No.
Is it me again?
It's you again. No. You're the only person I text.
Oh, no.
Oh, I've got one of you.
So okay, Sophie, you text me, tampons absorb your vaginal moisture.
No. Do you know who said that?
What?
You.
Oh.
That's what's come up on mine. This is from Johanna James. Tampons absorb your vaginal moisture and leave behind fibres. And I didn't know tampons had chemicals in. I've learnt a lot on YouTube today. Mm. How about you, Kerry? The word moist.
Well, that's my least favourite word, and my brother likes to use it to annoy me.
Okay.
And he sent me a picture of something, some advert that he saw on Facebook about vaginal cream. And
vaginas.
He put, saw this on TV, yeah, Kerry. Do you want it? I went, my vagina's perfectly fine, thank you. He put, it says moist. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh.
From your brother. So he did it on purpose because the cream says moist cream.
He's just looking after
Weird
your vaginal health.
It's all
health.
About
yeah.
vaginas, though. That yeah. word, the word moist and vaginas. And it is what you associate the word moist with.
Isn't it? It or is. A nice cake.
Although I would be put off the cake if somebody described it as moist.
Would you like a piece yeah. of moist cake?
I'd be like, absolutely
no,
not.
Okay.
It's got, right. it's got tampons
One
in.
More question for the floor. Which Michael Jackson song... was composed by Charlie Chaplin.
Billie Jean.
I got nothing.
It was Smile. You're both wrong.
Smile.
Pick another word.
Oh, heavens. Topless.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, let's have a little look in the WhatsApp.
Topless. Oh my God, this is so embarrassing.
Oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing.
I can't read that out. I can't. I have to.
Mine's
to
be. Oh! Is it what I've just seen?
No, because this is in a message to my boyfriend.
I've gone about an ex of yours.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, this is just, like, getting juicy.
Oh, my God. Go on, then. Kerry, do you have anything with topless in?
I do, but, again, it involves my brother.
Oh, okay.
I know.
Okay, go on.
So we were in Turkey, and there was this guy there that he completely fell in love with and would just stalk. He never spoke to him, but he would just stalk him. And he walked past, and he texted us saying, also, I just saw my boyfriend in the gym. Topless.
Oh, topless.
I'm now
topless.
Dead. Where are you all? That was it.
Okay.
That was it. He was stalking his boyfriend that he met on holiday that he never spoke to.
Oh, his holiday romance.
Yeah.
Topless in the gym. Go on, Soph, what's yours? Oh, I've got anxiety.
I'm not going to mention any names.
No, go on.
I'm editing a video today. He's put me through a lot of bullshit, but now I've got to sit and watch a topless for hours. Fuck.
I just sent a text to my current boyfriend, and he said... that he was tidying the house, mm-hmm. and I replied, oh, you sexy-haired, topless sex god.
Oh, that's quite tame. That could have been a lot worse.
I know, yeah. But that's, you know.
I'd have been like, are you hoovering? And he'd have been like, yes. And I'd have been like, get in bed now.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you sexy-haired, topless sex god. Oh, babe.
Just before Kerry heads off, why don't you just pick another one out there?
Oh, God.
Bollock.
Yay!
It was a text from my sister who sent me a video of her singing that she wanted to post. And she said, be honest, do these sound like dog's bollocks? Or do they sound all right?
Amazing.
Dog's bollocks means good.
Do they sound
like... Oh, no, he's put, sounds like a dog's bollocks.
Oh. Because when you're like, that is the dog's bollocks.
The dog's bollocks.
That's brilliant.
No, I think she meant, does it sound horrid?
Oh. Did it?
I can't remember. I can't see what I said. Oh, I put, they're fine.
They're fine.
That was it.
They're beautiful.
What was your favourite Game of Thrones moment ever?
Ooh, there's quite a few. I'd say one of my favourite things was, it was a very, very cold day in Belfast, and we had this little electric heater, you know, the little ones that probably your grandma's got in the corner
of
the
room.
Oh, yeah. One of the little gas ones. We had one of those in a room, and our feet were absolutely frozen. Like, you couldn't feel them at all. So it was me and a few others. We were sat down, and we had our feet right up against it. And after a while, we started to, like, smell this, like, an odd smell coming from the room. And we couldn't figure out what it was. Now, bearing in mind, all of our toes were absolutely numb. So couldn't feel anything.
Oh, God.
We looked down, and Kit had actually set his shoe on fire. And the leather was that was the smell of the leather.
Oh, my goodness. Good job we had shoes on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, someone noticed before it even got to the point of being dangerous. But it was the smell. We were like, where is that coming from? And it was the smell of burning leather.
Jon Snow's so rock hard. He can't even tell when his feet's on fire.
FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose.
I'm joined by Post Malone.
Hi. First time I went to Wetherspoons, I was in Wolverhampton. It was like the first time I bought my legal beer. It was awesome.
I'm so sorry that that was your first.
No, listen, I love it. It's emblazoned in my mind.
So you've kind of got like a deep connection with Wetherspoons.
Wetherspoons is actually my life.
Was it inspiration for the album?
Yeah. I wrote it all at a Wetherspoons.
Have you eaten at a Wetherspoons?
No, I've never eaten there.
Okay.
Just drank. So you like dinner from Wetherspoons?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking shit.
Well, no, I am a little bit. It's shit.
But it's still good. Well, let's go.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Kabaka Pyramid is our third and final guest of the day.
I just did my favorite thing for the first time on Sunday. I went to the Arsenal Tottenham game.
Yes! Wait, Guna as well!
Guna!
Of course, okay. Guna! Okay. I had no doubt!
Okay.
I had no doubt!
I saw the red and I was like,
Tottenham?
This white guy was sitting on beside us and it's like, everybody just excited at the tree and we're just hugging each other.
That's honestly, I think only two things can get you doing that. Yeah. Music and football.
Exactly. It brings people together.
Races,
everything. Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure.
Callum McSwiggan.
Today I am joined by the absolute legends from Pussy Palace. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
You have a lot of people say, you know, oh, we have LGBT plus spaces, everything's fine, everyone's included. But I don't feel like they are, and I don't feel like they are inclusive enough.
It's like you're walking around holding your breath. Mm. And it was only until I went to Pussy Palace that I could actually like, oh, this is what breathing feels like.
Yeah.
But I wasn't arming and ahhing about what I was dressed, how I was presenting, and like what ramifications that would have for me.
Yeah, the evolution of Pussy Palace has really created that, like, oh, there's community.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. We'll be right back.
FUBAR Radio presents Joey Page.
Mini Mentions, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Can I get you to just do a little, can you just advertise the show quickly for us?
Joe Page is kind of tight.
Joe Page is my real name. I've added a showbiz Y.
That's right. Why would you do that? Joe
it's
Page.
Too late.
I think you should drop the Y.
Yeah.
Joe Page suits the mustache, too.
Okay.
Yeah, Joe Page.
Turn the page, sick. Joe.
And the suit. Yeah, I think Joe, man.
Joe Page!
I've already done
it. Joe Page.
Made a lot of posters with Joey Page on.
Hey, this is Michael from Mini Mansions, and you're listening to Joe Page on FUBAR Radio every Wednesday, 2 p.m.
Yeah. I'm very excited to be talking to Kelsey and Nick from Local Natives. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Letterman was fun. I had an interesting situation at the end of our set. He's like, oh, where are you guys from? And here, I'll go over here so like it makes sense. So I was just like, Silver Lake! He's like, cool, thanks. And then he leaves.
Maybe to make you feel better, we'll do the reverse. So I'm going to get you to ask me where I'm from.
Yeah, where are you from?
Bexley Heath! Right, you got to represent where you're from.
Yeah.
John Grant, welcome to the
show.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Joey.
Do you feel you are appreciated enough in the music business? You're like a genius in music, so...
Thank you for the fantastic compliments. I don't feel particularly great at what I do, so it's always nice to hear that. I don't know, I don't feel like I'm allowed to have an opinion about that. I think I'm probably getting what I can handle. I wonder if I would be able to take the kind of attention that some people get.
Band of Skulls, welcome into...
Thank you very much.
Russell and Emma, how are you doing? I'm sure you were far too busy to be aware of this, but it was pancake day. How are your pancaking skills? Are you any good at making them? Are you any good at flipping them?
I do a good American pancake.
Baking soda?
Dad's recipe. It's amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's the secret, though, isn't it, to make them rise?
In the fridge for a bit, just to chill.
That's an extra thing that will help me next time I make them.
Every Wednesday from 2 p.m. Yeah.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
It's now time to welcome into the studio. They're sat very quietly and patiently opposite me. It's time to welcome David and Michael. Crystallism!
Hello.
How's it going? First things first, before we get started, I want to talk about what you know about chrysalises and caterpillars and butterflies. Can we start there?
Chrysalises.
Yeah.
I know nothing.
Right.
I never caught a butterfly. Either.
Right. First of all, this is just a very simple one-word answer. Would you rather, each of you can both answer this, would you rather be butterfly or a caterpillar?
Oh.
Well, probably a caterpillar, because then you get to be both.
Well... Yeah, I haven't thought this through at all. But so here's what I wanted to tell you about this. I only found this out recently. You know when a caterpillar goes into the cocoon,
yeah,
and then it comes out as a butterfly. Do you know what happens in between? It completely dissolves,
and then it reforms
as a completely different creature. But then they were like, so maybe they're not even technically the same thing.
Right.
Because they like dissolved down into chemicals and then like built back up.
That's crazy.
But so what they did was they tested like using sounds and stuff to distress the caterpillar or whatever to see then if they did it again as a butterfly, if it would remember that it didn't like that sound. And it did. So now they're thinking, well, is this like kind of when we die or whatever, our cells and our particles, what happens and do whatever they reform as, remember stuff? That's chrysalism.
Wow.
It's very rare that I get to impress anybody with any knowledge on this show. So I thought I would start.
What a trivia.
There we go. So
it's funny you should mention it because we were watching Bug's Life the other day. So.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the sound, because I do think you've got a very unique sound, which is why I was really interested in getting you on the show.
Well, thank you.
So tell us about how you came to create it. What sort of music were you sort of into as you started this project, or is there anything that inspired you particularly?
Yeah, so I'm particularly interested in video game music, and I like K-pop a lot, and trashy pop.
Okay.
And somehow I always try to make something really corny and cheesy, but it ends up being like something halfway there.
So, yeah, right. So
that's I'm like, my aim is to make a K-pop song, and Indian, it ends up like...
It's been something quite cool. Like, oh,
I describe it as cheese with soul.
Cheese with soul.
It's a corny soul.
I like that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. Because you're right, and I think you talk about the video games really actually makes a lot of sense, because that is like a futuristic but retro thing. So
yeah,
totally.
It's a bit of both.
So... your new single,
yes,
right, is basically inspired by some happenings that happened in Hong Kong. Now, I've never been to Hong Kong.
Oh.
So, first of all, what was you doing? Was you there on a holiday? Was you living there for a while? Tell me why you was in Hong Kong. And then also tell me about Hong Kong, because I've never been.
Well, I loved Hong Kong since I was little, because my dad used to work in Hong Kong.
Okay.
So
you've been a few times, or he went and you never went?
Yeah, I never went, and my mom was like, oh, he's in Hong Kong. And then I was like, wow, this magical place.
Yeah, because it sounds it when you're little.
And then, I went there only not even a year ago. I had an argument. I went out and just wrote this song on streets of Hong Kong at like 3 a.m. And that's
so when you say you wrote it on the streets, like actual pen and paper, or was you writing it in your phone, or what's going on?
It was a phone. It was
in your phone,
notes.
Right? Because it feels like, it, in a romantic kind of way, it feels like you're doing it on a, you're just walking around in the rain with a notebook after an argument.
And paper getting soaked.
The paper soaks, dissolves. But yeah, it's a happy song, I think.
Yeah.
But to me, at least it means.
Your sound is described as vintage futuristic.
I feel that way, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's accurate. So tell me about how you guys came to work together. What's the... You're both from Prague. So was you friends before you came to the UK, or did you meet over here, or what's the...
Yeah, so I met David when I was 6 years old. We went to primary school together.
Right, okay. So it's a long-standing feud.
Yeah. And then I was not friends with David for some time because he dressed like a Tokyo Hotel, and then...
I don't know if you remember Tokyo Hotel, because that was like a lot bigger in Europe than it was in the UK or in the US.
What is Tokyo Hotel? I thought you were just giving it a name of a look that I didn't understand.
German sort of like pop rock, like slightly emo-looking band.
Okay.
And yeah,
black nails,
like fringe, you know, sort of. It was aimed at like 13.
Okay,
girls.
I've got a picture. Yeah, I can see why you may not want to speak.
No,
it was a phase.
Yeah, we've all had them.
I also had phases, and then we met again when we were 14. So
with a shared passion for booze.
Yeah. Well, this is what I was just saying to you off air. I said you must have before you came to the UK had a really dim view of British people, because it's just all lads coming to Prague on for cheap booze on stag do's.
I mean, a little bit.
Myself included. I've been there.
I mean, it's a good place to do that. I mean, personally, I didn't, because my dad's actually half English and kind of into a lot of English music, so I was sort of brought up. I actually went to an English school, so for me, like, I always kind of wanted to move here anyway.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I mean, English. I say English school. It was more of an
English
international
speaking,
school,
right,
but
yeah.
Like, it was called a British school.
Yeah.
I still don't understand British humor very well, but I watched your stand-up comedy this morning.
Well, that's why.
and why I actually loved it. I actually thought
thank
it was
you.
Amazing.
Oh, thanks.
I thought that comedians don't need a Wikipedia page at all, because you just stand up for 15 minutes and tell me everything about your life.
Yeah, I mean, some of it's made up, but yeah. My girlfriend isn't made of crisps. But
and you're not you weren't a pizza delivery guy.
Oh, I wasn't a delivery guy, but I did work in Pizza Hut for about 5 years. I feel like you've done way too much research for this show.
FUBAR Radio presents Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Our guest is Mr. Williams.
Yes, brother.
How you doing, brother? You all right?
Yes, up. Yeah, man.
More
nice.
Weed. Definitely.
Do you still actually smoke? Do you know what I mean?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah?
Do you think that it also helps creativity?
1,000,000%.
Do you really?
100,000,000%. It even makes me good at maths.
Definitely.
Yeah. 100,000,000%.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville. Every Wednesday from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Miss Yankee and YA Poet. How are you both doing?
Hi, we're good, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
No, not at all. It's
Why
an absolute pleasure.
Already?
We always finish each other's sentences, but now we're just talking at the same time.
Well, it's funny you should talk about finishing each other's sentences because obviously you're both spoken word artists, but you're both so similar on paper. That's what one thing that's glaringly obvious about you two.
So you've been doing your homework.
Of course, you have to. You have to. But you both, for instance, you've set up your own poetry platform.
Yep.
Platforms. You're both award-winning. Or slam competition champions.
Yeah, international slam champions.
International.
Yeah. Yeah. May we add?
You're both a part of the same collective, obviously. How long have you known each other? How are there so many similarities? Because there's probably more that I haven't even touched on. But how long have you known each other?
About a year, a little over a year.
I knew they were going to say that.
That's amazing.
I think I just met her and copied it. No, I'm joking. It's true.
Which one of y'all was stalking the other one?
Oh, no, we haven't done that.
Do you know what happened? So our collective used to meet to kind of write together and, you know, steel sharpen steel and all of that. And I met her at a weekender that the Flow Assist threw at her house. And YA offered to give me a lift home. And on the way home, it was like, I've got daughters. And the list of, like, personal matches just went on.
Right.
Yeah, it's a womance, the female equivalent of a bromance, basically.
Nice, I love that.
It's been...
I've never heard that before, you know.
Have you just coined that? Or
basically, yeah.
Go on. You've got a copyright that.
Really good.
That's
good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
So, yeah, we're very womantic.
That is incredible. And so to find yourselves both in the same collective, see how alike you are, I'm sure you're... You must be one of the closest kind of duos within the whole collective.
Yeah.
By now.
Definitely. I think we are the now. We've taken over.
We surpassed the others.
Yeah.
And I think because we recently just came back from New York, did a little tour there, went to
of
Philadelphia.
Course. Yeah.
So we've been travelling together. So I think that makes us the winners, really.
Yeah.
And we've been really just pushing.
You always know if it's real, if you can live together or travel together without shitting each
true.
Other.
And this is true.
We did all right, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
I live by one rule. If you're friends, if you eat or drink together, but then you're right. It really is a test of your friendship. Once you can cohabit a space with each other, actually sleep and wake up in the same room as the other person, or not necessarily in the same room, but in the same building at least.
Yeah.
Let's start on buildings.
I mean, I need some space. But
I draw a line. The same
exactly,
beds, bedroom.
So you both, I know, Miss Yankee, you come from a very creative, artistic sort of family, I guess, because I know your brother, obviously, but we'll get onto that. But do you, YA, do you come from an artistic sort of family background?
I'm Asian, so no. I'm out here changing norms. But no, definitely not. Sorry if you guys are listening. It's true.
How did you find yourself like entrenched in it?
I've always been artistic. Went into corporate kind of, you know, work for a while.
Yeah.
And but I've always been very good at like drawing. Always interested in art, songwriting, that kind of stuff. And then last year just had kind of an epiphany. I wrote something and I think people need to hear it. And from then on, it's just been crazy from there.
Well, can I just interrupt? You know, you touched on, you know, on what I would say is a stereotype of Asian people, that they're not...
Look at me, I'm really changing it, aren't I?
No, but do you not ever think that maybe that someone else, you know, one of your parents or something, has this creative streak that they're kind of suppressing because of that, you know, thus feeding into that stereotype? Because I always used to think that growing up, and then I realised that my mum is actually a really amazing artist. Mm. Do you know what I mean? But I feel like she suppressed that because of the way...
A social norm, isn't it?
She's a Nigerian immigrant, you know what I mean? And there's not really time for art sometimes in some circles. Yeah. They think, you know? And I don't know. Do you ever think that?
I have thought about it. Like, is it generational? Has it been kind of suppressed and culturally, like, you know, suppressed? But no, I don't think they're good at anything.
She's like, I'm the first man.
Trust me, I know.
I'm the first.
I think they may be good with words.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I heard somewhere that my dad wrote my mum a couple of letters when he was trying to woo her. That's
when he needs to be creative.
Yeah,
when he needs
that's
to
a little
be.
Bit of creative writing there.
So he's got bars.
But
he's got a little bit of bars.
Yeah, that's that purposeful writing there. But no, I don't think they have any hidden talents. But or like things that they've been suppressing in terms of creativity. But I'd like to think that I'm one of the first. I think it makes it more meaningful. pushing yeah. forward my end.
It's special to be yeah. a pioneer.
You just want all the glory, man.
Give me the glory, people.
She does.
And yourself, Ms. Yankee, because, yeah, like I said before, I know your brother. I'm actually seeing him later today. He's directing another music video for me.
Yeah, he did
it's
your,
funny because he did my first one yeah. because he randomly texted me and said, my sister said I should work with you, so...
You're kidding.
That was literally, that was
that
the
was
only direction he needed. Is that how you
I
got
am the
with
plug,
your...
even when I don't know I'm the plug.
Oh, so you're the source.
Yeah,
but it's just the way he sort of texted me suggests that you, that kind of, you have a very, how do I put it, a very assertive way of telling, giving him direction. Have you always been
there? I mean, it's not just him. It's just people.
It's all of
us. Do you know what it is? I love creatives.
Yeah.
And automatically, if I meet someone and I think, oh, you work well with that person, or you should collaborate with that, or you should come to this night, then it's just how I am.
Yeah.
And with Atto, I know he loves directing. Mm. So I want him to do more of that. And he loves working with other creatives where he can actually take some control and kind of head up and yeah. be in charge. And I know that he loves working, he loves working with you. So it was obviously the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is the third time we've worked together yeah. now. The first one was on a song where I was just a featured artist. And then, he just randomly texted me and said, that was all he said. My sister said I should work with you. So I'm just reaching out, seeing if you want any videos.
And that video is sick.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Such a good
video.
He's
an amazing director. Yeah. He's a visionary. What was it like growing up in the Yankee household? As creatives.
Do you know what? We weren't... So I'm the oldest. Mm. So I left and went to Brit school. And my brother didn't really show any signs of wanting to be a creative till he went to uni. Then it was like, oh, I'm going to be in film. Mm. So it, growing up, we didn't actually create together. We used to sing together really badly and like put on little dance shows for my parents. We were always quite... You know, we liked to create. Mm-hmm. But I've never made a video with my own brother. How bad is that? Yeah.
That
so
is strange. Yeah.
That, and you're out here recommending his expertise.
I know. But it's
even
on the
more
cards,
of a beautiful thing.
Mm.
That's even more of a beautiful thing, I guess, in a way. It's like you've got that faith in him, even if you don't need to work with each other just because you're siblings.
Yeah, but I didn't want to collaborate for the sake of collaborating.
Yeah.
He's going to do More Than a Machine for me. Brilliant. which is the title of my upcoming book.
And was that a case of when the time was right rather than just because it was your sibling?
Yeah, I think now he's like, oh, she is actually a poet.
He's like, all right, you're established now.
We can work together. No, not even that. I remember when I first started, he was like, what do you mean you're a poet? And I was like, well, I'm a poet. So what makes you a poet? I was like, well, I write poems and I perform them. And I say I'm a poet, so I am. And he was like, oh, okay, then. And a couple of years later, he's like, oh, so-and-so knows you. I bumped into this person and they asked if I'm your brother. And I'm like, oh, now you see you. Yeah.
FUBAR Radio presents... Politics Matters with Eleanor Penny, general election coverage.
We have on the line here Molly Scott-Cato, who is a Green MEP.
Hello.
You have on social media previously cast a bit of doubt on bringing workers from like our current very carbon-intensive economy into a green sustainable.
I absolutely challenge the fact that I don't think it should be a just transition. Our manifesto is about social justice as well as climate justice.
The Labour Party are also committed to a 2030, which brings me on to...
Can I just finish what I was saying there? What Labour are saying is they will do their best to get onto a pathway to net zero carbon by 2050. That's a completely different thing from saying we will reach that target.
Politics Matters with Eleanor Penny, general election coverage.
Every Tuesday from 12 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to the very first episode of Politics Matters, a brand spanking new election coverage show here on FUBAR Radio. With me in the studio is writer and academic Dahlia Gabriel. So, Dahlia, hello. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi.
So, Dahlia, how would you characterise the choice that's in front of us? Boris v. Corbyn, smackdown for the number 10 crown.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're completely right in that all throughout my lifetime, particularly since I was able to vote, there's always been this sense that what's really the difference? What's the point in voting? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And that has been true up until this particular election. So what we have is we have basically two crises that mean that this election is different to any other election that anyone under 25 or 30 will have sort of lived through. So the first one is climate crisis, which we're going to talk about later. But the second one, I think, is the 2008 financial crisis. Now, that wasn't the first time that we had like a massive economic crisis. But I think what we're seeing now, and with the sort of polarization of politics, is really a consequence of the fact that in 2008, the kind of common sense politics of like trickle down economics, you know, a small number of people are going to make loads and loads of money, and then we're just going to wait and wait for it to like piss down on us, kind of got completely delegitimized, because suddenly we saw this kind of like speculative gambling based economy completely fail, and then the people had to bail that crisis out. So that's why we're seeing this kind of polarization on, in terms of, you know, the kind of Boris Johnson Trump-esque politics, the Farageite politics, and the kind of politics of Bernie Sanders and Jeremy Corbyn. It's saying there are two ways now. The previous system has been delegitimized. The two ways now are to go into kind of like further nationalism, putting up borders, selling off more of our public services to the private market.
Sort of doubling down.
Doubling down, concentrating all of those resources into the hands of the few. And then the other option is to kind of completely rewire that economy, invest in public infrastructure, invest in social services, open borders, keeping free movement, and tackling the climate crisis through a kind of like systemic redistribution of wealth and resources.
YouGov and the Institute for Public Policy Research have brought out some studies that say just 2% of people want to keep the economy as it is, and over 60% favour moderate to radical change, and actually 66% favour the redistribution of enterprises and corporations' wealth to its workers. Now, that's a pretty kind of radical agenda that could cleave to a really sort of stonkingly huge mandate for a left-wing government. But that doesn't seem to be borne out in the polls. So, Dahlia, what do you make of that?
So what's really crucial here is that a lot of these polls rely on predicting that the youth turnout will be incredibly low. And what I would say is that we should look at who wants young people to vote and who doesn't want young people to vote, and here, that's where the clue as to who you should vote for lies. So Boris Johnson tried to introduce a sort of very racist piece of legislation to basically say that you need to have ID to vote. Now, this is something that exists in the US, and it's a very sort of like well-rehearsed tactic of voter suppression. What it does is it means that people who are less likely to have passports or less likely to have a kind of long-term permanent residence will not be able to vote. Now, that means that millions of people, in the majority of whom will be young people, working class people and people of colour, would not have been able to vote in this election. Now, luckily, that was palmed off, but that, you know, it didn't pass. But that tells you that Boris Johnson is desperate for you to not vote, because he knows that his policies will not bear sort of anything good for young people. And I have to be very clear that 5 more years of the Conservative Party will affect young people the most, because it will look like a drastic reduction of opportunities. It will look like a starving of the welfare state, including the NHS. And it will basically look like shafting the young in order to maintain a system that keeps a very small number of people very rich and the rest of us kind of struggling for the scraps that fall from beneath the table.
We have on the line here Molly Scott-Cato, who is the MEP, who is a Green MEP and a prospective MP candidate for Stroud.
Hello.
Hello, Molly. It's lovely to have you on. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. It's a lovely day.
That's very optimistic of you. It's freezing in here, but I'll have to take that on trust. So can you tell me a bit more about what the Green Party is setting its sights on, what it's intending to do to meet this ecological crisis?
Well, that's right. We've got 10 years now to stop runaway climate change, and half of that time will be during the course of the Parliament that we're electing MPs on the 12th of December. So it's really important that we have a lot of Green MPs there, because, as you say, we take the climate very seriously. We've had this 2030 net zero carbon target for a while now, and we also have a plan to get there, and that plan is called the Green New Deal. And so it's a lot of very practical things, like, for example, insulating everybody's homes and making sure that their homes are heated by electricity or heat pumps and not by gas, because obviously we need to get rid of all fossil fuels. Also investing in public transport, so switching money from road building in HS2 to electrifying our railways, building more local railways and making sure we have frequent and cheap bus services.
You have on social media previously cast a bit of doubt on the idea of what many people call a just transition, aka bringing workers, bringing working people, bringing vulnerable people along with us on the transition from like our current very carbon intensive economy into a green sustainable economy. And that's a lot of reasons that people give in terms of skepticism, in terms of getting behind a properly radical green agenda. So how are you, what's your offer to working people to reassure them that their jobs won't just be scrapped?
I absolutely challenge the fact that I don't think it should be a just transition. Our manifesto is about social justice as well as climate justice. Some people have said that about me, but they're completely wrong. They're saying that to discredit me. And I've worked together with trade unions here in the Southwest. I've done a tour of the Green New Deal, basically explaining to people what it means. And we need to have unions and working people on board because we need to have people doing the jobs, and they need to be good quality, strongly unionized jobs. But what I have said is that you can see from what happened with Labour's announcement yesterday, they put out something saying they would be net carbon zero by 2030. As a Corbyn tweet suddenly withdrawn, and then we hear from the GMB that they don't actually think this is possible.
Just to correct you there, the GMB, which is a union, which is not the Labour Party, said that 2030 isn't possible, and later the Labour Party confirmed that they would be keeping the 2030 target in. So the Labour Party are also committed to a 2030, which brings me on to...
Can I just finish what I was saying there?
Absolutely.
So what Labour are saying is they will do their best to get onto a pathway to net zero carbon by 2050. That's a completely different thing from saying we will reach that target and that's our pledge. And also Labour are focusing on the energy supply. So that's about like how we generate our electricity, and they want to make that nearly all renewables. And that's great. That's a really big step forward for them. But what they're not doing is dealing with transport and the other sectors that also emit carbon dioxide. And you can't have net zero without including everything. So there is a very big distinction in what we're offering at this election.
FUBAR Radio presents Ian
Molesworth, joined now by Kadeem Ramsey. So we're talking about Top Boy, which Nat's a bit obsessed with, and you come in with branded Top Boy gear. Are you contractually obliged to do that?
No, I just like it.
It's good, you wear it well.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it looks good.
I just feel like wearing it.
Nice
today.
Hoodie.
The only show I watch currently is Top Boy. I've been watching Top Boy over and over.
I love that you watch your own show. That's really great.
No, that's not only it.
Are you going for your Top Boy tattoo after you've done this interview? Right across your forehead.
I'm scared of tattoos.
Are you really?
Yeah,
are you?
I don't want to be getting a tattoo and the guy says, whoops, that's one thing I don't want to hear.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club.
We're joined in the studio now by one of my favourite comedians, Rhys James. I always say in taxis and stuff like that, I always say I'm a writer.
Yeah, me too. Have I told you this story before?
No.
The time I got in a taxi, and I always used to do that writer because you don't want to have the conversation with the taxi driver about being a comedian.
But the follow-up question is just you can't get out of, which is, what do you write?
Yeah.
I write sitcoms.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So I was in this taxi. He goes, what sort of stuff do you write? And I went, comedy. I thought, for fuck's sake. And then he went, oh, what type of comedy do you write? And I said, satire. And then the taxi driver said, you know what they say? Satire is the lowest form of wit.
Joey Page.
Jim Sturgis joins us in the studio. Do you find when you've been like, it's obviously rehearsals and filming and that takes a real long time. Yeah. Do you sometimes find the traits of these characters seeping into your life?
There was a film I did called London Fields where I was covered in tattoos. I was playing like a really unpleasant character in that film, and it started to rub off on me, and I was sort of walking around thinking I was probably a lot harder than I am in real life, and someone nearly ran me over in a car, and I was a little too quick to fucking offer him out.
I come out of this studio on a Wednesday going, I'm well good at this, and then it's like, my mate, get out of my way, I'm getting on the bus.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
I'm Tom/Christal Rasmussen. Listen to FUBAR Radio and I'll send you nudes.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
You've been listening to Foo Finest.